So pleased to have with us now the voice of the Browns, Jimmy Donovan. Jimmy, how you doing?
I am doing great, Vic.
So, Jimmy, let's talk about the final offseason workout that the Browns had last week and kind of getting into the period now where it's about 5 weeks or so of darkness before we see the light again. What is your general takeaway from what this team achieved through these last couple of months?
Well, I think players, certainly coaches, and I think front office too, really enjoyed that they had an off season where they had these practices. And I really think the players really kind of cherished them. And that's, I know people will say, did they really cherish practice? And I think compared to when they had to start from square one last year when they arrived in late July once the labor situation was rectified and they had the new CBA, I think compared to where they were then on a short clock to what they had this year, I think that they were glad to have the workouts, glad to have the mini camp, glad to have the off-season conditioning program, glad to be in the building to the point where I think some of them, you know, in the past maybe they were looking forward to this dark period before training camp.
Right.
But I think they kind of enjoyed it so much that they're saying, hey, why don't we keep it rolling for another week? I mean, that's the read I got on a lot of the players, that they really liked what they were doing and they truly missed it last year. And I think that the rookies, obviously, this rookie class coming in now are going to be much farther ahead than the rookie class was last year because they were way behind the eight ball.
No doubt about that. And it was clear as you got toward the end of these workouts that guys were getting feisty. I mean, the defensive side especially, I think they, as you said, not only wanted to continue, but they wanted to ramp things up, and you can't. During the rules say you can't in these non-contact workouts have any contact. But I think the defensive guys in particular were maybe leaning in that direction. I think the other takeaway for me is a general feeling that when you add the rookies to a mix that has some players that should take another step next year, obviously the first-year players of a year ago, there's a feeling that better talent is around, and the optimism is growing from that.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Vic, and there's no question when you look out on the field and you see Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon, your talent level jumps up immediately, and it should, because those are very high picks, and those are very high-quality athletes. And we don't get the full picture of Richardson right now because of the very point you were talking about, that you can't hit. So we can't see him avoid a tackle, fend off a tackle, or people try and tackle him because there's no contact yet. But you can see the burst, and you can see the fact that he's like a racehorse in that starting gate ready to go. The other thing is that you can see Whedon and you can obviously see that arm, and that is a precious, precious thing for him and for the Cleveland Browns and for those wide receivers, because the ball just jumps off his arm and it goes to distances of great length and it gets from point A to point B a lot quicker than we have seen in the last couple of camps.
I get a sense that a lot of people are focusing on the fact that no official starter has been named yet.
True.
And are fixated on that point to say that it means, well, then there's some doubt here. Yeah, really, how good is the rookie if you can't name him the starter now? Is there a real chance for Colt McCoy to win the job or even Seneca Wallace to be in the mix, whatever it might be? My response to that is, I think we know what it is. Brandon Whedon is the guy. Brandon Whedon was picked to be the guy and has demonstrated nothing that should change anyone's opinion about that so far. I realize that there are more steps to take with training camp, with preseason, a preseason game or preseason games, however that might be. But the mindset of the coaching staff, to me, is he's the guy. And it's his to lose. He got most of the reps during the offseason. Is there anything in your head that tells you people should be looking at it as, well, you know, this is an uncertain thing, or there's a cloud over the quarterback position? I don't see that, but I feel that from the outside.
Yeah, I think that people wanted a press conference, you know, with a designation of maybe, you know, that this is the starting quarterback, and maybe we hold up a game jersey with his number 3 on it, and maybe that will do it. Yeah. I think that people were thinking maybe Mike Holmgren will do it at his press gathering, but he's not going to do that because he has been almost sometimes to a fault ready to defer to his head coach. He doesn't want to overstep the boundaries there. That will be his head coach's job. But you're right. I mean, you look out there, and the body language tells you that the guy is the starting quarterback. And as I just mentioned, you watched him throw the football, and it tells you why they drafted him at number 22 in the first round. And we're very happy to get him there. And, I mean, he is the guy. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
The next step is, once he gets out on the field and we put the pads on, and he starts to get the work. And that's the critical point now, once training camp comes, for any starting quarterback, but specifically him, because he's going to be a rookie quarterback in the NFL, is that he gets enough of the main work that he's going to need to get to be ready for that September 9th game against the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, right. If he's your guy now, you cannot, you know, shortchange him on reps during practice and then specifically in those four preseason games, because that has been a problem here, Vic, in the past, that a guy that has been the starting quarterback sometimes hasn't gotten enough of the pie in those preseason games to be ready for the opening game of the year. Now, it's easier with a Jake Delhomme, and it's easier with a Jeff Garcia, and easier, you know, with some of the other veteran quarterbacks, a Kelly Holcomb, but not so easy for a Tim Couch or a Brady Quinn or a Colt McCoy and now Brandon Whedon. If he's the guy, then he's going to have to get extended playing time, and that means your offensive line is going to have to get extended playing time in front of him to protect him in those preseason games.
And your starting wide receivers have to be there, getting the timing with him, et cetera. Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Jim, when we look to Colt McCoy and where this leaves him, on the presumption that Whedon is the guy, It's going to be, I think, at the very least, an awkward situation the longer he is here in the backup role, and the more questions that will be raised about, okay, what is his future? Are you getting any value for the guy? Is there value to get from him through a trade? How do you look at that?
Well, I look at it a couple of ways. I think that right now, I think that the Browns are keeping all options open at this point in time. I don't know that there is a market for a trade right now. But invariably, something's going to happen in the preseason. We don't want to have it happen here, and I'm talking about an injury.
I know what you mean.
But in some camp, somewhere, in some preseason game, some team is going to take a hit at quarterback. It always happened. I mean, I can remember when Gary Danielson was set to be the starting quarterback here, and we were going to keep Bernie Kosar on the shelf for one more year, and in the last preseason game out at the L.A. Coliseum, Danielson went down hurt. Kosar's starting, and his first game is going to be against the defending Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears in Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, something's going to happen somewhere. Suddenly then, Vic, I think then there's a market for Colt McCoy, because he's a great guy. He's got 21 starts underneath his belt from his play here with Cleveland, and someone may give the Browns a call at that point in time and say, listen, we need help. He seems to be a great kid. He seems to have some upside. Maybe we can do something there. So I don't think it's there right now, but I think through the weeks of July and certainly into August and before September, I think that might change.
With all the discussion, as naturally happens, about the quarterback position, a lot of other spots on this team do get overshadowed. Mm-hmm. It seems like a daily discussion about quarterback, and then everything else is everything else. So I wasn't trying to avert my eyes from anything else that was going on and just focus on quarterback. Looking at the defense, for instance, I see some reason to be encouraged by what this D-line might still be able to do despite the loss of a Phil Taylor. And I'm talking about Frosty Rucker's presence. Mm-hmm. I think that would make a difference. Jaquay Parker, it was noticeable to see some of the stuff he did. And Jabal Sheard looks every bit the guy that he was a year ago. And then you hope then some, because he's in that sophomore season. So how does he enhance a performance that got him 8.5 sacks last year? So, again, no contact, but I liked what looked like a line that would be formidable.
Yeah, I think so, and it's a great opportunity for the young man out of the University of Cincinnati, John Hughes, to come in, and the kid from Boise State to come in, and obviously they are going to get a little bit more of a look than maybe you first thought they would if Phil Taylor was here. But I think that they have made themselves a deeper defensive line, which I think that they needed. I think that Ruben got a little run down at some points of the year last year, and I think Taylor got a little run down. And was probably surprised at the wear and tear it takes to get through an NFL season as opposed to a college football season. So the more the merrier, and the better the effectiveness of that defensive line to roll those people in. And then it's a big point for some other guys. Marcus Bernard, you know, who's been away from the game because of the motorcycle accident last year. Can he come in at a lighter weight than he was at this point last year? Can he come in, and does he still have it after being away from the game? It's a critical year for him because there was the switch in defense from the 3-4 to the 4-3 last year.
Right.
Then he got injured, and now he, you know, comes back in, and maybe some people have come in front of him. So he's going to have to prove that he can find himself a spot here and open up some eyes and try and adjust to this defense. So there are some people that are going to have to open some eyes very quickly.
Yeah, Brian Schaefering and Scott Paxton can't disappear either. They've got to be all be, including Bernard, and then you mentioned Billy Wynn from Boise State. I mean, all of this group in one form or another has to make solid contributions and give them the ability to genuinely rotate enough times so that you are fresh in the fourth quarter.
And when you mentioned Paxton, I mean, every time he got in there last year, he was a tough, destructive defensive lineman to the point that he was in on that hit on Roethlisberger that got him injured and changed the Steelers' season. Yeah. Every time he was in there, you noticed him. You know, it's just like Reuben. You always see the 71 flash out there.
Right.
And the same was with Paxton. All of a sudden, this guy just jumped at you in the preseason.
Yep.
But you wonder, is he one of these guys that just plays well in preseason games later in a game? But no, he got in games, and he was wreaking havoc.
No, and I brought up the D-line because, again, that's the easy one, I think, to overlook when you're focusing on other things. The linebacking core, another place that I think could be very solid, even with Scott Fujita scheduled to miss those first few games. I mean, I have faith that Chris Gokong can do what he's done and having Kaluka Maeva on the other side. And then the rookies, James Michael Johnson coming aboard and Emmanuel Acho. I mean, initially you say special teams for those guys, but they too could be part of the mix.
Yeah, those two kids really jumped out at me. Acho seems just like a great kid. I mean, he's I saw him down. He was at the youth football camp the other day, and he did a great job down there. And I know he does a lot of great work. But there's something to be said, Vic, for a guy that plays a lot of football in college. And he played a lot of football at Texas. And I like that. Mm-hmm. Just like the kid from Boise State. He played a lot of football. He played in a lot of big games. Boise State played in a lot of big games, and he was a part of that. And you know, the linebacker from Nevada, he's got speed. I mean, he really looks like a young DeQuell Jackson at times.
Yeah, he does. And if he's anything close to that,
absolutely. Brown's we're in good position.
Very good shape. Great stuff, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
Good to be with you, Vic.
He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.